The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Good morning and welcome, folks. It is week 17. I hope none of you are still playing fantasy football, because if you do have league championships riding on this week, shame on you, because you got multiple teams resting players. You got COVID taking out the entire Saints backfield. We've got a lot of mess to unpack here. And the simple thing I'm going to say here for week 17 is that we have a number of teams with very little to play for and not much incentive other than performance bonuses and in their contracts. Because, again, with this new wild card scenario where only one team gets the bye, wild card weekend gets expanded by having an extra playoff game in each conference. So next week, we're going to have six playoff games. The wildest weekend of the NFL season just got a little bit wilder. But that's the reality of the situation. We only got two teams with byes, and we only know one of them right now, and that's the Chiefs. The NFC bye hasn't been determined yet. It could go to the Packers, but it could go to a couple other teams, namely the Saints could still win the bye. And you also have the Seahawks, who could win the bye, despite the fact that the Seahawks look... for all intents and purposes, look like they're heading in the complete opposite direction of what they should be as a playoff team because of some of the peculiar choices they've made to try to win games that realistically aren't very conducive to success in the postseason, namely plowing the ball straight up the middle and then just keep trying to punt your way and playing the field position battle in 2020 NFL. But that's another story for a different day. Maybe we'll try to get unpack the playoffs a tad if we get a chance to. But let's just get right down to it. The first game we're going to talk about in the early window, and I can't believe we're actually going to be talking about this. We're basically going to have to talk about the NFC East. The Cowboys and the Giants are playing in the 1 o'clock window. Sunday Night Football is designated for the Washington football team that can clinch the NFC East with a win over the Eagles. We'll get to that shortly. I'll talk about the NFC East in one breath, just so we don't have to talk about the NFC East the rest of the show, hopefully. But Cowboys, this is such a classic scenario. I need the Giants to lose this game in the worst way possible. Cowboys are a road favorite at 2.5 points, three in some books. The popular money is going, the public money is going on the Cowboys side. The sharp money is going on the Giants side in a big way. The Cowboys have been in this it's not even a clinching scenario. Both the Giants and the Cowboys need to win this game and have Washington lose later tonight, which I definitely think is a distinct possibility, but we'll get to that. The Cowboys have been in these scenarios year after year after year. The Cowboys legitimately have a good shot of making the playoffs, provided they beat the Giants. I'm I'd say 90% sure, as bad as this Giants team is, and believe me, I've been telling you this the entire year, and I financially bet heavily on the Giants winning under that 6.5 win prop bet. I took the under on the Giants, already won that. So you're not going to hear me talk up the Giants. The Giants are a bad football team. They got a bad quarterback. They got a bunch of players with not a whole lot of talent playing very hard for their coach. Joe Judge always has the Giants prepared. They are one of the least talented teams in the league. I will flat out say that. They have a bad GM and a roster of players that realistically are never going to go anywhere if you want to seriously compete in the NFL. So let's just get out of the way. So for anyone that's clamoring for the Giants to make the postseason, it ain't going to do much because they're going to get run out the building as soon as they get into the postseason because of the lack of talent that they have compared to the competition they'll be going up against. The fact that the Giants are even in this position speaks to how poorly the NFC East teams have executed between Dallas and Philly. But again, let's talk about this game. Dallas. Zeke should be back healthy. The quad issue seems to not be a factor in terms of the prep time. So you're going to see Zeke instead of Tony Pollard. There's, from a DFS perspective, Zeke is about as cheap as you're going to get him. He's under 7K now. You know, if there was a spot for Zeke to actually show up, this would be it. I would not touch any player in this game from a DFS perspective. People are talking up Evan Ingram, with Evan Ingram being 3,700. I mean, in a high stakes pool, could I play Evan Ingram because tight end is so bad? Yeah. Tight end is awful. Because you got Travis Kelce sitting, Darren Waller in a spot with the Raiders where they're out of the playoff picture. Yeah, could you pay up 7,100 for Waller? But there are a bunch of other plays that I don't necessarily see great opportunity at tight end. There really isn't a whole lot there this week in terms of one of the worst positions in football this entire year. So it's very hard for me to get excited about playing Evan Ingram, even though the price tag wise, it makes sense to play him at 3,700. It's very hard to get excited. Very hard to get excited at all about anyone in this game. But I get the Evan Ingram play. I just don't see it as a lock button situation because tight end is so fluky that you can get a whole lot going on, and there's a very real chance that Evan Ingram does not end up playing into being a top five tight end option this week. It's like, as ridiculous as that sounds, because I just poo-pooed everyone in the tight end pool. Realistically, this could just be a rando week where you just get random touchdowns from tight ends, and that just ends up being the optimal play at tight end. Outside of receivers, this should be a low scoring game, low total. We're in the low 40s for this total. There is nothing about this game that is appealing from a DFS perspective. Nothing. I don't even like the defenses because both defenses got priced up this week. I just look at this as a game where you're going to see Dallas screw up more often than not, just not produce on offense. I would just bet the under on this game. I mean, even with a 44 total, I just bet the under on this game and walk away. Because even if you bet on the Giants, it's even money, essentially, at most books. You're going to pay the VIG, so it's like you'd be minus 110. But I think the Giants win this game. The Cowboys have shown repeatedly they don't show up for big games. I don't know how long it's going to take for people to sink this in, but the Cowboys will screw up big games all the time. It just goes without fail. So when I just look at this, I think, you know, Danny Fumbles, Danny Dimes, you know, whatever nickname you want to designate to him when he's playing poorly, which is usually the case, or when he actually puts out a good throw. And granted, I think Daniel Jones will have at least, because of how bad the Cowboys defense is, will have two or three good looking throws and still play terribly this the entire game. I've already spent more time talking about this game than I would actually care to, but I don't want to play guys in this game. I really don't. I just think with full 15 game slate, because everyone's playing, there was no Thursday game, no Saturday games. There's just so many better options, but I think the Giants will win this game. I really think the Giants win this game, and the odds makers know it too. It's like Dallas is only a slight road favorite, and it just, this all points to the Giants winning this division, because I don't think Washington wins tonight. So let's just talk about the Sunday night game. I think Washington is going to choke on a national stage, and you're going to have the Giants win the NFC East at 6-10. I think it's pretty much a lock, and I wish I could find a bet that would actually offer up Giants win the NFC East, but you got to do a parlay to do it, and it's just, you know, betting on Philly never feels good, but, you know, yeah, it's just, you could do it in a parlay, but man, it's just, it's gross between this entire division. God, but here's the situation. Washington still doesn't know if Alex Smith can go with the calf injury. And this is on Alex Smith's good leg, not the surgically repaired leg that almost got amputated leg. Every time Alex Smith plays, everyone is worried about his health and safety every time he plays. And even when he was playing, he wasn't good. It's just that Washington's quarterbacks have been so putrid that even a mediocre Alex Smith is the far and away best option Washington has available. I can't wait to see the offseason for the NFC East, because one of these teams has to be smart enough to at least call up the Lions and ask what the asking price is for Matthew Stafford to make a trade. Because if Dallas doesn't want to pick Dak Prescott, Philly trying to figure out if Jalen Hurts can play. I don't think he can. I think he's been beneficiary of bad matchups. Even the Cowboys game showed his deficiencies as a quarterback. I just don't see it. And Washington, the less said, the better. And we all know what we have with the Giants in Jones. It's just he's not a good NFL starting quarterback. His ceiling might be that he could become an average NFL starting quarterback because of his consistency to be inconsistent. But that's the long and short of it. I think the winner of Dallas and Giants, and I think the Giants, I feel 90% sure the Giants are going to win this game, and I'm about 70% sure Philly's going to win tonight. I hope the Giants don't win it, because it's going to cost the Giants at least 8 draft spots. It's probably going to even be more. I got to do the math on it. Maybe it might actually be 10 draft spots that I think about it, if they get to 6 wins and host the playoff game. That's the other thing. Being a division winner automatically puts you above everyone else who made the playoffs in the wildcard team. So I think it's the difference between 8 to 10 draft spots between the winner and the loser of this game. So it's hugely important for the Giants to actually lose this game. But I think the Giants win this game, and I think Washington loses tonight. I think the Giants are going to win the NFC East. I really do. And it saddens me. It saddens me very much. Because, man, this is... man, like, I just can't. All right. Let's get to some of these other games. Not really worth talking about from an actual NFL perspective, but very important from a DFS perspective. Vikings hosting the Lions. Lions hosting the Vikings, rather. Both these teams out of the mix, you know, losing teams, closing out the year. Vikings, here's the deal. Justin Jefferson's closing in on a number of NFL rookie wide receiver records, and he can break them today with a big performance. I think they're going to try to pepper him with targets. I would not look at Adam Thielen at all from a DFS perspective. I think, you know, it's a case of you play Kirk Cousins, you play Justin Jefferson, and because Dalvin Cook unfortunately had a very tragic loss of his father passing away unexpectedly, very sad situation. You got no Dalvin Cook today, so it's going to be Alexander Mattison, who's not very good, but he's going to get volume. On FanDuel, he's only 5K. DraftKings, he's priced up at 6,100, which actually makes him a cash game play on FanDuel, not necessarily a tournament play, because I think he's just going to be way too popular. But on DraftKings, it makes for an interesting tournament play, because no one's really going to want to pay 6,100 for Alexander Mattison when he's not very good, and you could pay another 1,300 to get a Jonathan Taylor. And yeah, that sounds 1,300 sounds like a lot for salary wise on DraftKings, but there are enough cheap wide receiver options that you could pay down for this week, or just get a cheap running back instead to make it work salary wise. So that's the rub. I actually think Kirk Cousins is very viable from a DFS perspective, because the Lions have no pass rush. The Vikings don't have a pass rush. The only reason why I can't really recommend Matthew Stafford is because we don't know if Matthew Stafford can get through this entire game healthy. But I would say, concentrating on this game, you play Jefferson and you play Marvin Jones on the Lions side. Kenny Galladay, obviously, you know, he was never going to come back this year. I don't know why the Lions just didn't put him on IR. I know people want to play Hockenson, but Hockenson's just expensive at the tight end spot. I don't like tight end this week, because all the tight ends got priced up, and we knew that, you know, Kelsey wasn't going to play. The Chiefs aren't going to play, so it just made tight end even more ridiculous, because the tight ends got priced up because, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel knew that Kelsey most likely wasn't going to play this week. And so I can't get there with Hockenson. I just can't. So I'm just going to be looking at Jefferson. I'll look at Jones, definitely. And yeah, I'm going to take some interest in Kirk Cousins. You know, I'm not even going to play the, Cousins soundbite. You guys already know, it. I'm not going to play the, you like that soundbite. I've been told enough times that, it's played out and I enjoy it too much. So I'll spare some of the listeners, to it, but, I definitely think, Kirk Cousins, can make you money, today. I could be dying on a hill on that one, but I do think, the Cousins Jefferson pairing can be very smart with a run back to Marvin Jones. Steelers Browns, Steelers resting. I mean, Cleveland's got to win this game. It would be so typical of the Browns to lose this game because they need help getting into the postseason. If they win, they're in. If they lose and Indy takes care of business against Jacksonville, they're out. You know, the Browns need to take care of business. I think this is a Nick Chubb game. They didn't do what they needed to do against the Jets. I don't want to hear the excuses about the wide receivers being in COVID protocol. That was a did not show up to play against a team that was looking to kick your ass. Kind of game. The Jets were kind of ticked off that people were yelling at them for winning against the Rams, and then they showed up again, mean and nasty on defense, and Cleveland could not run the ball on them at all. Cleveland needs to run the ball. They need to get Chubb involved. Here's the thing. Chubb is interesting at 7,600. I don't know if I can get there. I just think that there are other options to play around with than Chubb. But Chubb makes for a very interesting tournament play because I don't know if some of the ownerships are going to hold up. If you want to pivot off of Derrick Henry at 9,400, and believe me, I totally get pivoting off of Derrick Henry. I'll get to why Derrick Henry's still definitely a very strong play today. But I definitely get it. If you want to pivot off of Henry, you can go to Chubb. I don't have a problem with it. Cleveland needs to win this game. They're a heavy favorite. You know, the Steelers resting players. Big Ben's not playing. Mason Rudolph is not an NFL QB. I don't care what anyone says. Like, there are some backups in this league. I look around and I'm saying to myself, there are better backups that I see playing in the CFL and other leagues that should be playing ahead of some of these backups in the NFL. But that's neither here nor there. That's a story for another time. But yeah, not touching Pittsburgh. And you're going to hear this a lot from me. I'm not going to be touching certain plays. I'm just not. But from the Cleveland side, there's not really much incentive to play anyone besides Chubb. Maybe you want to take a punt on Rashard Higgins because he's so cheap at 4,500. You know, you could just to make it work from a salary perspective, but I just don't see a whole lot here to get excited about. Dolphins, Bills. Okay, we're going to talk about something here that's very important. Bills don't really have that much to play for other than making the Dolphins' lives miserable. Buffalo can't get the one seed, so they're locked into either the two or the three seed with the Steelers. They already know the Steelers are resting Big Ben, so, you know, likely they'll be the two seed if they beat the Dolphins. Does it really matter? Not much. I mean, they're still going to be at home next week in Buffalo, so I think you could see the Bills resting starters in the second half. I think they'll give it a good go in the first half. And this comes down to Miami. Now, Miami had already kind of made the decision that they were going to go with Tua starting this game. And then it just got all but confirmed because Ryan Fitzpatrick, the 1B starter at QB for the Dolphins, tested positive for COVID-19. So he's in the COVID protocols. I mean, there you go. Miami, must-win game. Fitz magic is nowhere to be found. It just sums up Fitz's career. That the reason why he's never actually... he never shows up in a big game. And he actually had a chance to play in a win-and-in game. Win-and-in. If Miami wins, they're in. Had a chance to play in a win-and-in game. Contracts COVID. I know it's not easy following the protocols in certain states, in certain areas, but week 17, like, you could not get into it any more pivotal time to be strictly adhering to protocols, and Fitz test positive for COVID. I can't get over it. Like that one just irks me. So here's the thing. I don't think Tua feels that comfortable running the offense. And the Bills are going to give different defensive looks. So this is a weird game where, you know, on the surface, this opened up originally with Miami as an underdog at 4.5. When people started finding out that the Bills were going to most likely rest players, then the spread completely shifted all the way over to the other side. Like, all the money got bet over on Miami as an underdog. So now the Dolphins are favored by 3 as of this morning. I kind of look at this as a game where I don't want any piece of it. But if I were looking to bet today, I'd take the Bills as an home underdog. Because I think they're going to get Tua all he can handle. And I'm not sure if Tua's up for it. I don't know if at this stage of his rookie season, Tua is up for a defense getting after him that has talent around it. Now, the Bills can rest some starters, but they can't rest all the players on the defense. Defense is going to be playing. So it just comes down to, can Tua make plays against the Bills defense? And I'm not entirely sure about that. So while I'm not betting on this game, would it shock me if Miami lost this game? Absolutely not. even in a must-win game, I think Miami could very easily lose this game, and you could see Miami get leapfrogged by the Colts. It would not shock me. I don't want any piece of this game from a DFS perspective. Because the Bills defense is still priced up on DraftKings. So it's hard to kind of get any decent value out of this one. It's like, I'm just staying away from this game entirely because I don't know who's going to be playing. So it's very hard to target pieces, and I don't like Miami's offense. You could look at a Myles Gaskin, but that would require the Dolphins to be up for him to pay off value against a good rush defense. Like, it just, none of the pieces make sense from a DFS perspective, so I just stay away from this one. Same goes for this Jets Pats game. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I might actually be inclined to bet on the Jets, because here's the rub. The Jets have won two games in a row, but they were locked into the number two seed overall in the NFL draft. They don't need to tank this game. They don't need to tank. They can just beat the Pats outright, and, you know, they get a win over New England. And Adam Gase desperately wants to get a win on against Bill Belichick, because for the majority of Gase's career, he's been owned by Belichick at Gillette Stadium. It's just been the case. Like, he has not won up in Mass. So this is a very weird game, because the Jets aren't good. The Pats aren't very good, because with all the players who opted out, Cam Newton has not looked right ever since the COVID diagnosis. Like, you could say it's an excuse, but the fact is that team just never got back on track after week four. You know, it is what it is. But you've got multiple members of the offensive line missing this game for New England. Jets have a good rush defense. You know, Cam has, you know, shown why New England's wide receivers aren't very good. You know, I can see the Jets winning this game. And the Jets being a 3-point underdog, I just don't get it. I don't get this line at all. I would bet the Jets. I would bet the Jets. And I sound incredulous saying this, but I would bet the Jets with actual money. I would bet the Jets today. I bet the Jets spread and the money line. I think the Jets win this game in Fox. Oh my goodness. I can't believe I'm saying this. Oh man. It's wow. Okay, after I got that laugh out of my system, DFS, basically don't want any part of this game outside the Jets defense. The Jets defense is only 2,300. The Pats are not scoring more than maybe 17 points in this game. This line total of 41, I would be hammering the under on this one. There's no way this game hits the 40s. I can't see it. Unless there's a defensive touchdown involved to get there, I can't see this game getting into the 40s. Like, it's a 41 total, but I can't see it. I cannot see it. So I'm going to take the Jets defense, and I could see Ty Johnson having a I don't want to say good day. I mean, he could get you to double digits. And at 4K, he's not 4K. He's 4,300 on DraftKings. But at that cheap of a price tag, you can fit in Davante Adams or Derrick Henry. It works from a salary perspective, and combine it with the Jets defense, you know, it gives you cheap salary to at least bake in some points, because you know he's going to get volume. And, you know, even if he doesn't get a rushing touchdown, Johnson should still get a couple of receptions here and there. he should be able to get you to double digits. Just don't expect to be in the teens, or let alone hit 20. If he hits 20, I mean, you're in the bank. I'm just avoiding the Pats entirely. But yeah, I could play Jets defense and I could play Ty Johnson, but that's about it. I don't expect much from the Jets passing game. This is going to be a relatively ugly game to watch. So, definitely not focusing on that at all. Next up, Tampa hosting the Falcons. Man, okay. Tampa likely would face the winner of the NFC East, unless they lose this game, which there's, I mean, crazy things have happened. This would probably be with as much as Tampa could benefit from getting a win here, would be one of the doubles, because you're in wildcard weekend, you win and you play the NFC East, which will have a losing record. Like, there's no excuse to drop this game to Atlanta. Like, the Bucks are going to win this game. I'm just going to say it. The Bucks are going to win this game. They're going to smash Atlanta and they're going to roll over whoever they play in the NFC East. But with that being said, because, you know, I could already see a Bucks-Giants matchup coming and people trying to talk themselves into beating Tom Brady in Tampa. I can already see it happening. Here's the thing. Atlanta's going to play out the string. Matt Ryan, again, you know, in every spot where he could play against backups or inferior talent, he still doesn't raise his game to at least beat the competition. I just look at this as a situation where Tampa's going to get up and then it's just going to be garbage time points for Atlanta. So could I play Calvin Ridley or Russell Gage? Ridley's priced up way too much. I just can't get to Ridley when I could just play Davante Adams and be done with it. With Ridley being 8,500, you know, at that point, you might as well just pay up for Derrick Henry or Davante Adams, in my opinion, and just get some exposure to Russell Gage. Instead, you know, I just don't see Matt Ryan lighting up the scoreboard. He's had so many opportunities to do it this year and just hasn't done it. So, like, this line of 50, you know, I have a real tough time believing that 50 line. I would probably take the under on it. Definitely take the butts, the Bucks covering the 6.5. It'll probably be 7 with most books. But as we get closer to the kickoff at 1, but you know, in terms of DFS, Tampa is just so hard to put a finger on it because Brady has so many different weapons to throw to. I would even look at it as a Ronald Jones type of game where they just ride out the game. It's just one of those things where, you know, I look at this game and I just say to myself, I'm not going to have a whole lot of exposure to this game because there were too many players on Tampa that could have a good game. And Tampa's defense is priced up as well, so it doesn't make it as an attractive play. It's just not a lot of value here, but Tampa's winning this game. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Speaking of games that are going to be won, you got the Ravens playing the Bengals. Yes, it's a divisional matchup. Yeah, we could make an argument that the Bengals have played better in the second half, but the Ravens are locked into being physical again at the point of attack, running the football. Cincy is bad as a rushing defense. This is not a good matchup for the Bengals. It's just not. So if you're telling me that I can play Lamar Jackson and, you know, bake in the rushing upside, I think you take that as a tournament play. If you want to get different from playing the Aaron Rodgers of the world, because I think Rodgers is just going to be incredibly popular. You know, I don't see a lot of pass catching options that I like because, again, Mark Andrews got priced up. on DraftKings and FanDuel, with Kelsey basically being announced in advance he wasn't playing. It was like most of these salaries were already priced up in anticipation of players sitting. So, you know, I like Lamar just because I think he's going to run all over the place. You know, is there a risk that the Ravens get too far ahead and, you know, they just rest him? Yeah. But by then, I would expect Lamar, because of how the Ravens run their offense, to have close to 100 yards rushing and a couple of touchdowns. So, you know, because you know he's going to run it in, have some rushing touchdown opportunities as well. Dobbins is going to get some touches as well. So I could see it being a situation where, you know, you get a bunch of touchdowns from the Ravens, they get up to 28 points, and it comes down to kind of Bengals throw to keep it in there. So between T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd's back as the number one wide receiver on Cincy, and at 4,900, that's an interesting tournament play, playing Tyler Boyd, because I don't think he's going to get a ton of ownership. And salary-wise, it kind of helps you as well, because he's going to be a little bit cheaper, because I expect people to be tagging in Derrick Henry and then running it back with Brandon Cooks, as we'll talk about in the late window. You know, I think that's kind of an interesting way of going about it. It's just kind of playing Lamar by himself and just letting those games ride out and call it a day. So, getting into the afternoon window, you know, we'll get this one out of the way first. Seahawks, 49ers. Seattle still has a chance at the number one seed. You know, as I said before, Seattle's just been playing in such a awkward way that, you know, we had the let Russ cook movement going on in the beginning of the year. Then, you know, Seattle started losing a few games. They decided, they panicked and said, you know, we're going to get back to what we do best and run the football, which is not what they do best. They're not that great of a run blocking team. You know, yeah, Chris Carson can get you 100 yards and a touchdown, but he's not a 150 and 200 yard back. Like, Seattle runs the ball. So I don't want to say they run it poorly, but they're relatively average. They just, they're relatively, like, from their execution against good teams, they're kind of about league average when it comes to running the football. They run the ball well against bad teams. They're not necessarily good at running the ball. They just run it a lot. So it's a suboptimal way of running your offense. And the 49ers are not that bad of a defense, despite all the injuries. You know, it is a banged up 49ers team, but they know they can make life difficult for Seattle, and I expect them to. So, you know, I just don't like any of the offensive options on Seattle this week. I just don't think it's a great play. Now, you could maybe throw a punt on DK Metcalf, like breaking out a big play, but I look at you know, this is a stay away kind of game. There's just not a whole lot that is gonna be had here with this matchup. So, you know, I kind of look at it as we'll see if Seattle's defense, because I think Seattle's defense going up against CJ Beathard, the third string quarterback for the 49ers. Maybe you get some turnovers against the Niners defense, but the Niners like to run the ball as well. So it's just not a whole lot of great value that you're going to be seeing in this game. And, you know, for that, it's just out. It's like a Seattle 7-point favorites. Don't like that line either. I think Seattle wins, but I think that's like a field goal game, maybe two field goals. I would take the 49ers, but don't feel great about it, so I would just pass on the game entirely. But for picks purposes, yeah, I'll take the Niners, but, you know, nothing to feel great about. All right, so Texans hosting the Titans. Tennessee as the road favorite by a touchdown. Here's the deal. Derrick Henry can break 2,000 yards rushing against the worst run defense in the league. A lot of people have been talking up J.J. Watt making a speech, calling out his teammates as to whether or not they want to be here because of how lackluster the Texans played against the Bengals last week. Here's the, I mean, the long and short of it is that the Texans are an awful run defense. They've been an awful run defense. There's nothing about the Texans that says, yeah, today's the day we're going to actually stop someone from running the football. Now, it's an outside shot that Derrick Henry can break 2,000 yards. He would have to run for over 200 yards today. But, again, one of the league's worst rush defenses. And, wouldn't you know, the first time these two teams played, Derrick Henry ran for 212 yards and two touchdowns. I'm not saying he can repeat that performance, but, you know, if he gets to, I believe the tally is 223 to get to 2,000 yards. It's not the craziest thing in the world that Derrick Henry could run for over 200 yards against this Texans defense. It really isn't. I mean, if people want to go with the narrative that J.J. Watt is going to inspire his teammates with that speech, go right ahead. They're just not very good at executing. And so I would rather take the team that knows it needs to run to win the game, because what happened last week against the Packers was they did not have a good start. They couldn't get their feet set in the snow. And the Packers got up on them early, and they couldn't play action. Their offense looked completely out of sorts. So, bottom line, they're going to run the ball. They're going to feed Henry, and they're going to run the ball against the Texans. Titans need to win this game to make sure that regardless of how the playoff seedings work, because they already clinched the AFC South. That's not the issue. The issue is more along the lines of the seeding purposes of making sure that they are still going to not face some of the teams that could be lined up. And they won't know that for certain, but the chances are if they can win and, you know, get the win here, they're likely going to be facing either Miami or the Colts. Both of those matchups, I still think Tennessee feels relatively good about. So from my perspective, you're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. Now, point blank, on the Houston side, what can we expect to see? Deshaun Watson chucking the ball and chucking it often. Houston can't run the football. I mean, they've tried, you know, they can do dump offs to David Johnson. They can do a vast number of things, but running the football ain't one of them. So, all that being said, you're going to see a lot more of chucking by Houston, which is going to stop the clock, and it's going to give more opportunities for Derrick Henry to run on Houston's defense. I think that, you know, the standard play is going to be Derrick Henry at running back. You may see some Deshaun Watson stacks with Brandon Cooks, and then you try to get cheap elsewhere. Or, you know, you'll just see Aaron Rodgers' stacks and then some cheap Packers receiver or Davante Adams in play. But, like, there's going to be some combination of exposure to the Tennessee-Houston game. Even if you're not playing Derrick Henry, you can play the Titans passing attack with Tannehill, or just play the passing attack for the Titans with Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's going to be points to be had in this game. The line's at 54. It could easily smash that. I would not be shocked at all with this game shooting out. And it's probably the one with the most potential to shoot out. So I just look at it as, you know, you're going to need to have pieces of that game, you know, at some point you're going to get burned by because they're not all going to hit, but they have the best opportunity to hit, and that's what really matters at the end of the day for DFS purposes. All right, so since I already talked about it, let's talk about Packers-Bears. Packers can lock up the one seed with a win over the Bears. Bears, technically, you know, this really just kind of comes down to, you know, they have a marginal chance of making the playoffs if they win. And, you know, as long as that's the case, they're going to play hard, and it's the Packers. So, you know, looking at the way this is shaping up, you know, I could see the Aaron Rodgers MVP case just being made here, and you know, they'll just go at it from the perspective of Aaron throwing to his favorite target. So that'll be Davante Adams, Robert Tonyan, if you want to play Tonyan. But Tonyan's priced up at tight end. Again, I don't like tight end, but Davante Adams, I think at, you know, even at his price tag being where it is right now, you can see how at 9,200 he can get there. If you're doing it as an alternative to Derrick Henry, it's the smart play. You know, they're fading Davante Adams and Derrick Henry seems like a suicidal move this week because of all the folks being out. Maybe someone wins the Millie Maker without Adams or Henry. I have a very hard time seeing it. I really do. So, you know, it just kind of comes down to who you're going to get exposure to and how it's going to manage. Now, you can also get exposure to Adams and Henry. It just makes it a very ugly looking build when you do it that way, but it can be done. It can be done. So, you know, it just kind of depends on how you're looking to put together your roster, but it can be done. It's doable. So, from that standpoint, when we kind of get down to some of the finer details, we're going to be looking at it from the perspective of what else can you do with this game? And the truth of the matter is, I don't think you get really cute with it. With the Bears side, you know, you can play Allen Robinson. You can play David Montgomery. That's a fine option, too. Darnell Mooney, yeah. But I wouldn't play around with using Jimmy Graham. Yes, Jimmy Graham has gotten touchdowns. Does that mean Jimmy Graham's going to be productive today? Absolutely not. So don't get cute. It's his price tag is already there. It just doesn't mean that he's going to get there. And, you know, I just look at it from the standpoint of if it doesn't feel like a good play, avoid it completely. So just not that much exposure to the Bears. It doesn't make a whole ton of sense. Chargers playing the Chiefs. And you would look at this and say, the Chiefs are 14-1. Why are they the underdog? Because everyone on the Chiefs is resting. Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Kelsey, they're all resting. It's just the Chargers against the Chiefs backups. You know, Kansas City's going to play very vanilla in terms of offense. They're not going to risk guys getting hurt. So, in terms of the Chargers, I just kind of look at this from the standpoint of Justin Herbert, you know, doesn't have Keenan Allen this week again. You know, no Hunter Henry. You got Eckler, obviously, he's priced up, but I have no issue with playing Eckler in tournaments at all. I think you could get there with Eckler. Still, with dump offs and just being able to have volume, even if he's not rushing that much, I think you could get there with Eckler. But then the wide receiving core, it still gets very spread out between. You know, Mike Williams is not a number one receiver, so everyone penciling him in to get the number one receiver work, yeah, he'll get the targets, but that doesn't mean he's necessarily going to get there. I would be looking more towards Tyron Johnson and Jalen Guyton. Johnson at 4K, Guyton at 3,400. I'd be looking at those two as the potential touchdown options on the Chargers because Herbert's going to throw the ball. It makes it a little bit harder to diagnose where it's going to go to because the passing tree is kind of spread out even with Henry and Keenan Allen being out. Herbert's been spreading the ball regardless. So it's not a clear-cut case to be made one way or the other. But yeah, I definitely have exposure to Herbert in tournaments. I lean a little bit more towards Guyton than Tyron Johnson, but it's not the craziest thing going that route. Raiders Broncos. Woo! Man. I really don't want to have any exposure to this game at all. But Raiders 2.5 point favorites. Yeah, I could see the Raiders winning this one. Even the Chargers game, I could see the Chargers beating the Chiefs. But man, like trying to predict the AFC West outside of the Chiefs actually just winning the game, it's tough because these teams are just not very good. But as it stands, Darren Waller is going to be a popular play at tight end with all the injuries. So at 7,100, yeah, I could see Waller definitely getting a ton of ownership. I'm just not going there. There's just too many other plays I think have higher upside than Waller. But could Waller put up a 25-point game? Yeah, because the Broncos are that bad. There is a possibility for Waller to get there. I'm not going to poo-poo that. It's just that I personally, you know, with the Bills, I just didn't get there. And, you know, there's only so many plays you can make before you spread it yourself a little bit too thin. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it is that, you know, you're going to see Waller ownership. Maybe you get to see some Josh Jacobs ownership. On the Broncos side, I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but the Raiders defense is so bad that I feel compelled to have to play a Drew Lock stack, you know, against the Raiders just because you still got a very cheap price on Noah Fant at 4,400, you know, and he's going to get a ton of targets. And Jerry Judy's only 4,200 on DraftKings. It's just that Drew Lock's has kind of much shown you all you need to see is that he's not a starting NFL QB. He can be a backup, but he's not necessarily a starter. It's kind of ugly, but you know, I do have some exposure to Denver stacks because I do think you could get there by being cheap with Denver and then squeezing in Derrick Henry and Davante Adams when you go cheap with the Denver stack. I definitely think that's a possibility of being different from other lineups. Rams Cardinals, not touching this game outside of some exposure to Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, just to stack those two. Here's the thing. The Rams could still make the playoffs with a win. Here's the problem. Jared Goff broke his thumb last week. Done for the year, essentially. You know, with the recovery time for the thumb, he can't see him being back unless the Rams somehow make a miracle run in the postseason, which is unlikely. You know, if we go into looking at some of the other plays for the Rams, you got John Wolford, who was the MVP of the XFL at QB. You got no Cooper Kupp because of COVID protocols. He's not available for this game, so it's Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, and Josh Reynolds for the receiving core of the Rams. I don't see a ton enough upside to justify some of those plays unless you're going with Reynolds and Van Jefferson because they're you know, they're around 3K. So I think Reynolds is 3,200. Jefferson's 3K. If you're going to those plays to then play, you know, Davante Adams and Derrick Henry together, that kind of makes sense to be on the cheap side. Like, I can get that logic. That one makes sense to me. But outside of that, this game just doesn't have much appeal from a DFS perspective. Outside of Kyler and DeAndre, the line's at 41.5. That sounds about right, because I don't see where the Rams put up a ton of points, but they're going to run the ball a ton, and it's just going to reduce the number of possessions for the Cardinals, and they have to be very efficient. And the Cardinals have shown throughout the year they're not efficient. They are not efficient with the ball and their possessions, and that's why they find themselves in this position where they're very much at risk of missing the playoffs. You know, it's just, it is what it is. They got to win this game. I would just say the Cardinals win and get in, but do I feel great about that pick? No, because I could easily see the Rams being able to wreck the Cardinals' offensive line and win this game for the Rams to get them into the postseason. I can see that happening. So, you know, this is just not a game I want to bet on. And from a DFS perspective, I don't want exposure to either side, because the pricing-wise, unless I'm trying to get a cheap Rams wide receiver, because their prices came out before the Cup designation, there's not much incentive for me to go down that that path. So, just not going to go there. All right. Jaguars Colts. And we're going to get to the play that I would say should be used in lieu of stacking Davante Adams and Derrick Henry. I think Jonathan Taylor might actually be the top scorer on the slate, even though he might not be the immediate name on there for you know, most people. It's a weird situation, because Taylor should factor in as the number one running back, but I could see so many other teams imploding. Like, this is one of those weird spots where Taylor seems like the smart and logical play, but it's kind of a gut thing where it's like, I'm going to play Taylor, but I don't feel great about playing Taylor, because I feel like other guys can get there. And at 7,400, you know, he's just safe. He's very safe, and a lot of people are going to be playing him as well. So it's not as though you're getting leverage. It's just, you know, you're looking at it, it's like, it's a safe play, and he has upside. I'm just not as sold as other people that he's going to get to that upside. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, people are talking him up as he's definitely hitting 25 plus points, and I'm not there yet on you know. And again, it's weeks like this is where it kind of comes down to, you know, you gotta go with sometimes your gut. And I think Taylor is closer to a 20 point game, 20 to 22 point game, than he is, you know, hitting that great value of smashing through the 25 point barrier and getting to 30 points. Like, I think you're going to see a 30 point running back on the slate today. I just don't feel comfortable at all saying that Taylor's that guy. He's in the best matchup for it. Don't get me wrong. I just think that there are other running backs that are, I think you're going to, because again, in week 17, you see teams just give up in the second half of games. And so you could see big runs popping off. And I just look at it, it's like saying, you know, I could see scenarios where Taylor isn't the guy, and it just ends up being that. And so, you know, he's definitely in the cash game pool without question. Tournament wise, yeah, you can definitely play. I don't feel as great about the play as I did when I first looked at this slate originally. I'll leave it at that. It's like, I'm definitely playing him, but I could definitely look back on this game and say, man, I should have had more exposure to some of these other guys instead of Taylor. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with the Taylor play. on the Jags side of things, there is a lot of talk going into playing the Jags wide receivers. I don't understand why, because the Jags have consistently shown that they're not good at throwing the football. So, yeah, they've locked up the number one pick, so yeah, they can play free and easy. Yeah, there's definitely potential there. I just think that without James Robinson, it makes it a harder case to say the Jags are really going to keep this one close. I think it's more of a case of Indy puts up the points and you're waiting for the second half for Indy to start resting guys because they're up three scores. And then you get the Jags possibly coming back, because this line's the spread is like north of two touchdowns at this point. You know, I look at it as a case where I like Jonathan Taylor. I don't really like much else on Indy outside of just taking a punt on Zach Pascal in case they get a couple of decent pass plays and, you know, he can get over 100 yards. I just don't see enough there in Indy outside of Taylor to make it work. And with that line being close to 50, you know, I just think that the Jags, yeah, could they cover that spread? Yes. I just don't think Indy is going to have much incentive to run up the score on the Jags. I know they need to win to get in, but I think, you know, by the time that game rolls around, you're going to see, like, whether it's and I think it's Miami. I just have a bad feeling about Miami stubbing their toe. And I think that changes the scenario for Indy. I think Indy will play it closer to the vest, knowing that they just need to beat the Jags, but not go crazy and go all out. So it just makes it a very weird, it makes it a weirder play for DFS purposes, because Indy, knowing that all they got to do is win and knowing how easily they can get there to win, I just don't see the Jags showing up to this game to spoil Indy. I don't see it. I know people are playing up that narrative. I just don't see it. I'll leave it at that. All right. Saints-Panthers. Okay, another interesting one. All right. The Saints' entire running back field is out. Alvin Kamara, after that 6-touchdown performance, you want to play him? You can't. It violated COVID protocols, and the contact tracing took out every other player for the Saints' backfield, Latavius Murray and so many others. So now the Saints are reduced to using their practice squad players as the running back back pool, similar to what the Broncos went through a couple of weeks ago where they lost all their QBs. The Saints did the same nonsense. For the Saints, could it bite them in the ass? Yeah, it could. It could very well bite them in the ass, because they still have a chance at the number one seed, and now they don't have the running backs. Do I see a scenario where the Panthers win this game? I don't. But crazier things have happened. Mike Davis is doubtful for this game, so you have a running back. Our feature running backs are Ty Montgomery for the Saints and Rodney Smith for the Panthers. Both are at the minimum price for running backs at 4K. Like I said, you can fit in Davante Adams and Derrick Henry if you go with these two running backs, or you could go with a cheap wide receiver somewhere. But you go to these two running backs, running back with Henry, and you could squeeze in Davante Adams, no problem. You know, there are ways to get there. I'll leave it at that. There are ways to get there salary-wise by focusing on running backs in this game. And, you know, I think that, people would say, well, the Saints defense is good enough. Wouldn't you just play Ty Montgomery instead? Well, Carolina's offense is also predicated around short passes. And if Rodney can catch a couple of passes, he can get to double digits and he will be low owned enough that, you know, it'll be a different pivot off of Ty Montgomery, who I expect to be very highly owned. You know, it's just thought process wise of how you want to get there in terms of your roster construction. I don't see too many people playing both Montgomery and Smith, but you know, you could do that to be a little bit different. Get Derrick Henry and Devontae Adams and still be able to afford a QB that's on the higher end. I definitely think there are pricing isn't as big of an issue this week on DraftKings because of all these players missing games. You know, I think there's opportunities to be had. So I'll leave it there because that wraps up the slate. You already know my thoughts on the Sunday Night Football matchup. I think Washington drops this game. I think the winner of the Cowboys-Giants game wins the NFC East, and I think it's going to be the Giants winning the NFC East, as much as it pains me to say that, because it's going to screw us out of a very much needed top 10 pick. You know, I don't really see anything that's going to sway my opinion on that. I think the Giants are going to win this game. It makes me very sad, though. It's like, I just, you know, this division is so bad. So bad. But that's going to do it for the show, folks. Getting ready for lock, so get your lineups in. Best of luck to you, and catch you next time. Later.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.